If you have any serious gut issues, it might be time for a fecal transplant. Yep, that's what I said. On this video, I'm going to share with you how it works and how you get it done.
You're watching the Dr. Jake Podcast.
Welcome back to the Dr. Jake Podcast. I'm Dr. Jake Schmutz. I'm an integrative doctor and naturopathic physician. And in this podcast, I share with you how to heal your body down to the root causes without any drugs or surgeries. I'm here today with my co-host, Teresa Marie, to talk about fecal implants. What they are, how they work, and when to get them.
Wow. I just actually heard about fecal implants a couple of years ago. I had a friend who got a serious gut infection. I don't remember what it was. Some sort of dysbiosis of some kind. There's a name for it. I've heard of it before. Can't think of it right now, of course. But it definitely put her in the hospital, and she wasn't doing well. And I was on the back end trying to do research, going, so how can they help my friend here? And that's when I discovered fecal implants. I actually brought it up to her and said if she could talk to her doctors about it. And I don't know if she ever ended up getting one. I do know that she did end up getting better, and I did tell her about it. And so I'm fascinated about this topic. And I know you, Dr. Jake, are an expert in a lot of these alternative forms of healing. And so would love to get all of the dirty details, for a lack of better words. So let's just start off with the first question. I think anybody who's clicked on this podcast either was searching for this or just saw the title and was like, I'm going to need to watch this because what the heck are they talking about? So let's just start off with it. What is, Dr. Jake, a fecal implant?
So let's dive in. What is a fecal implant? All right. So what it is you get a stool sample from a healthy individual that has a good, healthy gut. So what does this involve? So they are going to check this stool. It's just like doing like you're giving blood. They're checking it for all the diseases and everything that could cause an issue with giving blood or an organ donor. So they're checking all that type of stuff to make sure it's healthy, and that way you're not going to get some other disease from someone else. Also, the really good fecal transplant centers are making sure that the donors have really healthy guts. And what does that mean? The best ones are the people getting them have never had antibiotics, or really haven't had antibiotics for several years. But the best ones, they've never had antibiotics in their life. They come from a vaginal birth, so they don't have C-sections. And they're eating a good, healthy diet. Many times they're not eating a lot of herbicides or pesticides. So it's going to be a really great, healthy stool sample. And they especially can't have any digestive issues. So they can't have chronic diarrhea, inflammatory bowel diseases, or constipation or anything like that, because we don't want to put in bad bacteria in there. One reason why they have these symptoms is they have bad bacteria, but they have good, healthy bacteria in there. They have great bowel movements, good, healthy GI tracts, and they are the perfect donor. So what do you do with it? Is you get this perfect donor sample and you put it in a blender, believe it or not. And you put a little bit of normal saline in there and you churn it up and you put it in some syringes. Many times it's done through colonoscopy. So they put you out, they put the tube all the way up to the terminal ileum, which is the very beginning of your large intestine. And then they inject all that stool sample into your colon. And then all that microbiome are left to flourish. But before they inject that, is they want to make sure they destroy all your bacteria in your gut before they implant that, because they don't want any of this interference going on when you implant this good bacteria. They want you to take on this good donor's bacteria, so you take on their gut, so to speak. So you do a lot of antibiotics for 48 hours before you do this, and then you do the implant. There are some facilities that aren't doing colonoscopies. They are doing more enemas. This is not going to reach the terminal ileum. This is going to go up into the rectum. But that tends to work pretty well too.
I want to make sure I hear you correctly here. Instead of going, they wouldn't actually implant a fecal implant through the rectum. They would actually go through the upper part, or through the upper part of the large intestine. How would they get there?
They're going through the rectum. So they have a tube. They go up through your rectum. They go all throughout all the sections of the large intestine. They get to that terminal ileum area, and then they inject.
Got it. So they're still going
like a colonoscopy.
But they're just going so far up. That way there's time, I imagine, for the implant to stay in your system for a while before you eliminate any of the excess amounts. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Now, we haven't said this. I imagine for some people who's listening, that it's implied. But let's be clear here. Who are candidates for such a, what seems to be extreme type of treatment?
So who are good candidates for a fecal transplant? So this has a ton of research for people that have Clostridium difficile. So this is a bacteria that you usually get from taking antibiotic use. Many times you get this in a hospital. It's a gnarly bug. It's a bad guy. It makes you have diarrhea all the time. You get extremely dehydrated, very difficult to treat, doesn't tend to respond well to antibiotics. And so the last resort that people go to is the fecal transplant for this. Some people might take antibiotics and they clear it. Great. Good for them. But there's a ton of research on it being beneficial for Clostridium difficile to be able to give all that good bacteria in there and wipe out that Clostridium difficile, which is causing the problems. So it's really great for that. But it is great for majority of GI issues, right? People that have chronic constipation, people that have inflammatory bowel diseases like ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. They also have shown in the research that it's good for autoimmune diseases. Like I've talked in previous episodes that the gut is a huge piece of autoimmune disease because that's most of where our immune system is. So if your gut's not working well and you have this huge imbalance of your gut bacteria, it can lead to autoimmune disease. So they've done research on multiple sclerosis, for example, doing fecal transplants and have seen good results with that.
Gosh, Dr. Jake, how come everybody's not doing a fecal implant? It sounds like this is like the answer to so many problems out there. What I'm not joking, but I'm half serious. Why is this such a niche topic that not many people even know about and are not clearly being used enough?
So why are not many people using fecal transplants, or many people don't even know about fecal transplants? Yeah, and it is difficult actually to get here in the United States to treat it for something besides Clostridium difficile. That tends to be pretty easy. I did a quick search for getting fecal transplants here in Utah, and you can get it pretty easy if you have C. diff. Like University of Utah, Ogden Clinic, et cetera, all over Utah for that specific issue. But let's say you have inflammatory bowel disease. There's a lot of research on it helping with Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. And these are debilitating conditions, and it's hard to do. But there are clinics that are doing it. I know there are some in California, and there's others throughout the country that have the facilities to be able to do it appropriately. I know some of my patients have gone down to Mexico to be able to get it done because they couldn't really find the appropriate facility here in the United States, but you can find it here in the United States. Unfortunately, it's not that easy. It was easier. The FDA cracked down on it. Like always, FDA cracks down on a lot of our awesome treatments that can work really well and made it a lot more difficult to be able to get fecal transplants here in the United States. It was much easier 5 years ago, and it's just getting more difficult now.
Interesting. Now that you say C. diff, that was what my friend had. Yeah. And what the way that when she had C. diff, she was in the hospital. It was so bad. And they wouldn't give it to her until she did a number of other procedures first. The insurance wouldn't pay for it unless she did a number of other procedures first. And if those didn't work, then they were willing to go all the way to the fecal implant. And I'm not sure if she ever needed to go that far, but that's what her process was like. And interesting that you say within the last 5 years, this happened within the last 5 years. So it seems like that might've been the effect of the FDA and so forth. You've talked about the candidate. You talked about what the process is like. Why does it work? Can you explain what's happening with a fecal implant? What's the whole benefit? What's taking place there?
Mm-hmm. So how does a fecal transplant work? So the idea behind it is a lot of the digestive disorders are related to too many bad bacteria, too little good bacteria, not having enough of a certain amount of bacteria. And the theory is we're going to give you this good, healthy microbiota of a healthy donor that has a great digestive tract, that has a really healthy stool, and everything's working right. And we then implant their bacteria. They're good guys. They have the right balance of the bacteria. They don't have bad guys hanging out in there. So that's why we say, okay, we take the high amounts of antibiotics, we strip our body of bad bacteria and the good bacteria, whatever's in there, and we then put in this good bacteria. And then that's able to fester and grow And then over time, that will fix the issue going on in the gut, because the big piece of what's going on is this whole imbalance of the bacteria. A big reason why our gut functions is the bacteria we have in there. So if you have bad bacteria in there, it's not going to work. And you have the good, healthy bacteria in there, it's going to work appropriately. So that's the theory behind it.
So if someone is listening today and they're thinking, oh my gosh, I have serious gut issues. I haven't been able to get past them. Maybe they've got Crohn's, maybe they have irritable bowel disease, something like that. What would be the process that they would need to go through to get one of these?
So what is the process to actually get a fecal transplant? So first, you need to go to a facility that actually knows what they're doing and they can actually get the appropriate donor. So you go to the facility, they ask the appropriate questions to see if you're the right fit. So they're going to ask a detailed questionnaire. Sometimes clinics are going to do a comprehensive digestive stool analysis and see what's going on in your gut, really do a good interpretation of what's going on in your gut. And then they're going to decide, okay, you're a good candidate. Then they're going to give you high doses of antibiotics. They're going to clear out the bacteria in there. They're going to have already good stool samples from great donors, been tested for diseases, everything. They're really healthy. And then they're going to prepare it. Like I said, they're going to put it in the blenders, they're going to churn it up, and then they're going to implant it into the colon. And you can see how good a result you get from it.
Do you have any idea how much this procedure costs, especially for someone who's going outside of insurance, which seems like, unless you've got C. diff, you're probably going to have to go outside of insurance?
Yeah. What is the average cost for this? It does vary clinic to clinic, but it's going to be like $4,000 or $5,000 to do this procedure typically. It's going to be cheaper if you go into Mexico, and it could be more expensive since I last checked, especially since COVID prices have increased exponentially, but it was around that range.
But it seems like for someone who might be really suffering, that might be a no-brainer investment, honestly, when it comes to how much money they're spending on all the things that they're doing to try to help themselves, the time that they've spent not working and lying in bed and going to hospitals and just all of those things. It seems like this would be a really good investment to make. Mm-hmm. Have you ever ordered a fecal implant for any of your patients? And what were the results, if so?
Yeah, have I ever ordered this for any of my patients? So yeah, I have done this for some of my patients. I usually do this as a last resort. Majority of the time, I really don't have to do a fecal transplant. I'm able to treat majority of these conditions that we just discussed by other means, natural means. But when patients don't respond well with all these other treatments that we did, I do recommend that they get a fecal transplant. And I try to find a place for them. So there's some places in California, for some reason, there's quite a bit more there. And then there's facilities in Mexico that are able to do that. In my state right now, I don't know anyone doing fecal transplants, so they usually have to travel somewhere. I know there's some places in Oregon and Washington, at least there were places there. I know a few shut down because of COVID, but I do order it. I think it's a great therapy. Don't be scared that it is stool from someone else. It's great. It's a good option for those that need it.
And really thinking about it is you're getting someone else's gut bacteria. That is the purpose of this, is gut bacteria is essentially getting a whole new gut. Mm-hmm. It's essentially the foundation of your immune system. And that's how you got to think about it. So Dr. Jake, if anybody is listening right now and going, okay, I definitely want to get a hold of Dr. Jake. I'd like to start something, a process with this possibly, maybe have you help them with some of their gut issues. How can they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So if you want to get a hold of me or my clinic, visit our website, integrativemedica.com. Find our phone number there. Give it a call. Talk to our receptionist. Set up an appointment with me or some of our other great doctors. You could also just sign up an appointment directly online. And you could always see us virtually, so you don't have to come in to us in person.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your expertise today, Dr. Jake. And for our listeners, if you liked this episode, let us know by leaving us a positive review. And we'll see you all next week.
Hey, Dr. Jake, thank you for your time today. And if you enjoyed the show, then do us a favor and leave a review. It helps more people to find the show, which could save their life. And remember, this is a podcast and should not replace personalized attention from a medical professional like Dr. Jake. If you or someone you know has been diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder, cancer of any stage, or a life-changing illness, visit our website today and schedule a virtual appointment with one of our doctors who can lead you to a treatment plan in your area. That's integrativemedica.com. integrativemedica.com.
Thank you for listening to the Integrative Medica podcast with Dr. Jake. To hear past episodes and get alerts for the future, subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform and be sure to follow us on YouTube as well. Just search for Integrative Medica with Dr. Jake.